Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Christ with Coffee on Ice. I am your host, Allie Yost, and we are back, y'all. It is season three. I'm so excited. I don't know which episode this is going to be in season three, but y'all, this is still my house. Like, if y'all are physically watching right now, this is still my home, and I'm kind of, like, living for this. Y'all know I got my orange couch, which I love. It's been such a staple for my podcast, but what the heck? My living space? I mean, it's adorable. I always knew it was adorable, but I love this. I'm also not sitting on the couch alone. If you're physically watching, you know that. But if you're just listening, you don't know. We have Karoo with us right now. Karoo Ellington.
How are you guys doing?
We love Karoo, y'all. Oh my gosh. Let me just go on and on about him for a second. So we've been connected on socials. Stop it. We've been connected on socials for like, I don't know, maybe a year. Yeah. But we've never really like gotten to know each other. And so the Lord has really just orchestrated this friendship so beautifully. He's like my little bro. He's like my little bro, and we've only been hanging out for like a week, but it's been so special, like just being in community. And
we've been laughing.
We have been laughing so much.
I'm going to be laughing through this whole episode.
I can't wait to giggle. I think we all need a little giggle.
It's the holy giggle.
It's the holy giggles for me.
Before we even filmed this, like an hour before this, y'all, we were literally belly laughing.
Yeah, on the floor.
On the floor.
Rolling.
I have not done that in like a year.
No, it's been so healthy.
Is this friendship bringing back joy for me?
It's giving joy.
It is.
Yeah. So we're so grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Also, y'all, if you don't know, I mean, Karoo's got, he's got merch, which is incredible. It's Christian-based merch, and it's fire. It's convicting. It's convicting.
Don't hype me up, y'all.
And he's also got his own podcast, which is called The Secret Place Podcast. Mm. And I also was on there, too. So we're doing a little swap right now.
Heck yeah.
If you haven't listened to it, it's available on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you listen to podcasts, including YouTube. So y'all praise need to God. Check out his podcast, too. But I love the unity. It's giving the body. Like,
it's
all
giving
of us
the body.
Together.
If you do not support your friends like this, because we don't need a, we do not need to hype ourselves up. We need to hype our friends up.
Yeah.
And your friend should be the one hyping you up, not you.
Yeah.
It's giving.
And it's refreshing because I feel like we've gone so long
trying to do
having
it
to hype ourselves up and like promoting our own brands.
It's exhausting.
It's like, it's fine, but it's exhausting. And so having that support from multiple people in your community, it's almost like, it's crazy. It's like foreign because it's like you've really been the one to support yourself through Christ, right? But when it comes to like marketing and all of that stuff, it's just, it's fun to have people in your corner that are like, bro, check out, like the same way we look at it. We got Ashley's book behind us right now. Ashley Hetherington, she just came out with a book. She's an author. She sold out at freaking Walmart and Target and number one on Amazon. But like, fun, like, let's just support each other.
That's
and love on each
be.
other. That
it's
is real
edification.
Brotherhood and sisterhood in church, like in the church.
And let me just tell y'all, in the social media realm, in Jesus' name, you guys are going to start seeing the actual real, when I say real Christian influencers, because many people want to say they're Christian influencers, but the real ones
you'll
are going to start supporting one another.
It's the fruit for me.
It's the fruit for me. So you're going to see every one of your favorite Christian creators, the real ones, commenting on each other, because I'm tired of us trying to self-seek and self-serve.
Yeah.
It's time to start serving your brother and sister in Christ and edify, because we cannot do this alone. It's Avengers for me.
And the thing is like, you know that, like, it, I guess it's kind of in the world, like, this saying, but, like, there's enough success for everyone. Like, a lot of people like to use that in the business world and stuff. But when we talk about our God and we talk about his blessings, he is an infinite God.
Yeah.
Like, for us to even put limits on the Lord in our minds, like, I don't know. Like, some of us might be guilty of that. I am, of being like, well, they got all these blessings, why don't I? But like, their blessings don't take away from the blessings that the Lord has for you. Like, he is infinite. So like, supporting you and loving you is not taking anything away from what God has for me and my business. And anyway, it's like, at the end of the day, all of this is just to glorify him. Like,
it's
we truly should be, this is biblical and said in, I don't know which Corinthians, first or the second Corinthians.
We need Ashley Jones.
I know. We need, she is our like, what is the word? She
the sword,
is just
the
scripture.
Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she has scripture. She's our scripture girl.
Written on her heart. Like, Ashley Jones, y'all, if y'all don't know her, go follow her.
She stands on business.
Your spiritual big sis.
She's amazing. That is her handle. Your spiritual big sis. She's incredible. You guys are actually probably already familiar with her because she's lit up this podcast. She's come on it a couple times already. But where was I saying with that? Yeah, like, he's infinite. Like, his blessings are infinite. And so supporting your brothers and sisters in Christ is actually what the Lord calls us to do. We're supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be just like preaching the gospel and doing everything on our own. It's like, we are actually also supposed to be unified as a body.
Right.
And I mean, the body of Christ.
The scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. It's not just talking about in a relationship of being with husband and wife. It's talking about community.
Yeah.
And there's a scripture, I can't necessarily remember where it is.
Where's Ashley Jones?
We need Ashley Jones.
We have our Bibles literally right here.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's Moses, and the Lord says, there's a battle happening below the ground. He says, as long as you lift your hands up, lift this staff up, then you guys are going to win the battle.
Mm.
So as he lifts his arms, the battle begins. You know, they start to win. They start to have the victory, but he gets tired and his hands start to fall down. And then they start losing the battle. But his friends come around him and hold his hands up for him. That is the power of community. That is what it's about. That is what the body of Christ is about. It's to come and rally around you when you're exhausted for you to see the victory.
Yeah, and that's what God wants us to do.
And
like,
we
we're
will.
Not supposed to be alone in anything.
That.
Yeah. And that's why we have so much joy.
I know.
And the cool thing that I feel the Lord doing too is like, and actually Ashley Hetherington, I point because she's here. Ash, do you want to come in and say hi real quick?
Come here.
She's here in my house. It's giving, yeah, it's giving we all live together, but we've
literally in so many of these.
Ashley's right here.
I love
this woman so much.
I'm telling you, we have literally died laughing the last couple of days. I did not know I could have this much fun.
I've not had this much fun in so long.
Like, such a pure way.
It's been so pure. And I mean, Ashley, you have a brother, but like, I don't actually have a little brother. I've always just had a sister, which is great. I love my Ashley. I have so many Ashleys in my life, but my biological sister, Ashley, love her. She's more than enough, but I have never had a brother. So it's just sweet.
Yeah, it's giving brother in Christ. And I just feel like the Lord is, I heard you saying this, Karu, but he's just putting together so many amazing people who love him, like in our lives. Yeah. And like, it was just Allie and I for a bit, and it was great, but I feel like God is just blessing us so much, and Karu's part of that. I'm so excited for y'all to listen to this episode. I know it's about to be fire, and also, I know you guys are about to have fun with them, too. So,
but what I was about to say, because we've had this conversation before, too, is that what I love, this is so intentional from the Lord, is when one of us are down for the count, like, truly under warfare, or we're struggling with something, someone is good, though.
Let me just hop y'all up on that.
Like, someone is actually solid enough to be like, all right, we're going to war right now. You know what I mean?
I literally woke up this morning struggling so hard with my blood sugar. Like, if I did not have y'all, I was going to fall into, like, it was going to be, like, emo era today. Like,
it really was.
Honestly, high key depression.
But we were like, we are about to lean in. We are going to pull you out of this.
In the way that I was communicating my voice, and the enemy, honestly, every time we get on this podcast, y'all, any podcast, anytime we get on our platforms to spread the gospel, there's always warfare, but specifically with the podcast. So y'all better listen up, because God has something in store for y'all today. I don't know what it is, but you better incline your ear. I feel it.
Yeah.
I never shared my testimony before online.
Yeah. Which is not wild that you were feeling that way before, and you had already, it's what we said on GGB, which I will forever stand by. If you've already committed, and then you get like,
In the spirit. It was confirmed from the Lord. You're supposed to be doing it. All right. Let's not manipulate it and change it. Like, oh, well, what if it's God protecting you? Sure. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But if you felt in the spirit.
Oh, in the spirit.
That this was going to serve the kingdom and you have to go. And then
you feel sick. You feel, oh, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I should just push it off. Maybe it's like, no, push through that. Yeah. Because there could really be like an assignment from the enemy. Like we say, like, oh, it's not that deep. No, it is that deep. Because actually, you're about to share your testimony, which is going to help set the captives free. So we just are so excited for that. And the enemy's not going to win, period.
And he didn't.
Because
here
we
are.
Need any water.
Thanks, Mom.
Period. See you, Ashley. Love you. Have fun editing.
So on that note, that's crazy to me that you have not actually shared your testimony. I mean, to be honest. Like,
I mean, I've shared it to thousands, but online I haven't just sat down.
And been like, this is my testimony.
Yeah.
Have you considered doing that on your own pod?
Yeah, I will.
You should.
But I'm doing it on here first.
Well, of course. And you're going to continue to share your testimony.
Yeah.
You know, on more podcasts.
I don't know why I haven't got online. Honestly.
There's a reason.
Wait,
there's
okay. It's crazy because I was going to do last week's episode. I was going to make it my testimony, but for some reason I couldn't do it. So this is literally from the
Lord
right
now.
Maybe
this is intentional. Like for some reason
it's
it
not
had
maybe,
to happen
this
now.
This is intentional.
There is no maybe in intentionality.
In the spiritual realm,
there's no maybe,
bro.
There's also no such thing as coincidence.
Come on.
Like that word doesn't exist. Okay, so yeah, let's just, because this is the thing.
Let me just touch on discernment real quick. It's the way that when you're really like friends who all in tune with the spirit, y'all. Because I was talking to Allie last night, and it's just the way that, like, if they want to, your friend has something, it's like, already know. They bring it to you, already know.
It was amazing. Okay.
If and then y'all, we started saying the same exact thing in text at the same time.
Sometimes we didn't even have to say anything where I'd be like, so you know. Like, it's just like, you felt that.
And I say, I literally said yesterday, I was like, I'm not even giving you my discernment. You already know.
You already know it. And I knew that he already knew.
Because I know dad, which I say that's God.
That's father.
His dad, because he is my heavenly father. Dad already told you.
But that is when we say, like, what would you want? Like, what super, like, if you could have a superpower, what would it be? It's like, bro, we already got it through the Holy Spirit. It's the same spirit, and it can literally be like boop, boop, boop. It's and we are crazy. All connected. It's the coolest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
And it really shows who's actually in tune with the spirit, because yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that.
No, because sometimes you be having discernment and you're looking around and no one else is feeling it. And I'm like, okay, so how in tune are you with Abba as me? Because why am I feeling this and you're not?
And people say, like, discernment is just like, for example, like speaking in tongues. Some people, every believer has discernment.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's not just like,
I can't speak in tongues, but I got the discernment.
I can't speak in tongues. Hiromashikia huri makari. I lit that. That was fake, y'all.
That was
so that's not, that's showing y'all that people can fake it online and just because they're doing all
they
that.
They can learn it without actually having the gift at all.
Oh.
Okay.
And then but you'll know if it's real if you have the discernment. That's the thing.
Right. Because you can't fake discernment.
Exactly. And you won't be led astray if your discernment's actually in tune with the spirit. But many people are too lazy to get in the word to be in tune with God to where they're being led astray online.
Gosh.
They ain't ready to talk about it.
That's real, though. That's real. So it's really been refreshing with the time that we've had together because it's like, dang, you really know the Lord. Because, like, the way that it's giving, what is it? Telepathy?
Twinning them?
yeah. Anyway, so let's just get into your testimony, though. Because I feel we really have been hanging out for, like, the last week.
Yeah.
And we've been holding this back.
Yeah, I know.
Because we could have cracked this open, like, the minute we got in my car on Friday, however many days ago that was.
We were just, like, low-key sitting there awkward.
Because we want to get there. It's we want to talk about it.
So, like, that's, like, the first thing you talk about, like, as a believer. It's like,
so how do you know the Lord?
Yeah.
So that's our small talk. It's big.
There's like, because it's like when you're a believer and you're friends with actual true believers, that's all you talk about is Jesus.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not like we're saying, and Jesus. It's like, for example, me and Ash went on a run today, and before she's cracking up, Jesus, would you just help us with these heels? Like, she is one, like, a woman of God that will crack open prayer at any given moment. I know you hear me, Ashley. Hyping you up over there. I've been meaning to tell you. She's amazing.
She is. She really be praying about anything and everything.
Yeah. Everything she prays about.
She'll be like, guys, can we pray about this right now?
Pray without ceasing is what the word says.
Come on. It's biblical.
I mean, it's not saying that you have to, because many people think, oh, talking about, like, what are you going to start describing his appearance and all this stuff? Like, no, it's literally inviting him into the littlest moments of your life.
Yeah.
When you're cooking, hey, Jesus, like this. And I love your videos that you post, that you do, like those of, like, hey, Jesus. Like,
yeah,
this
my
is
journaling
me.
To Jesus.
I love those. Those are really powerful.
Yeah.
Keep doing them.
I haven't done them in a minute. But
this is the Lord telling you right now that you need to.
I know.
Because it just randomly popped in my mind.
I love that.
But anyways, y'all want to hear
my
testimony?
So, Karu, how did you find the Lord? How did you know Jesus? Like, how do you know Jesus so deeply?
Yeah. Well, let me just be real. One, y'all, I mean, I grew up in a Christian home, but it's just giving hypocritical. I think a lot of people, there's a difference in a testimony. One, there's two things you got to do whenever you start following Jesus and whenever you become a Christian. One, you have to believe in Jesus. Two, you have to make him Lord of your life. So in a testimony, there's two parts that happen. Many people leave at the first part. They believe in Jesus, but even the demons believe. So if you're believing in the word, I mean, it is so easy to believe in God. You walk outside, who the freak else created this creation?
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious he's there. Believe, okay? Just because you say you're Christian does not mean you have to.
But believing isn't enough.
No. Yeah. You have to be submissive and make him Lord of your life. That means Lord of your mind. Of your thoughts, Lord of your eyes, the things that you're watching, Lord of your ears, what you're listening to, Lord of your mouth, what you're speaking, everything. Mm. And people aren't willing to do that. So for me, I grew up in a Christian home. Yeah, I was homeschooled until like third grade. Mm. That's why I'm a little bit weird.
That's why.
But
okay.
Let me be real. My parents did an amazing job. It just created a Christian atmosphere.
Which I got to meet your parents and they're lovely.
Yeah, they are.
I love your parents. Your mom is great.
Yeah, they have hearts of gold.
She's the biggest heart. Yeah.
They're meant to do ministry full time, and they will in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I mean, they created an amazing atmosphere of, you know, just raising a child upright whenever I was little. But I'll get to that later of, like, how that changed. Whenever I was a kid, again, I had two siblings. So my brother's 25 now. We're all 18 months apart. And then my sister is 20, 23. It's her Jordan year. That's the only way I remember. I mean, we were all super close. And I think what had us so close was because my mom homeschooled us and my dad was like working. So my dad was like our principal is what my mom would say.
That's funny.
And my dad was like working so much. But at the end of the day, they still brought the Lord back. And there's just this like community with the family is like a tribe. Mm-hmm. Like in the word you see, like, I believe your family is your tribe. Mm-hmm. Your family is your community. But the thing is, it all flows from the parents, and many parents don't want to live that out. Not saying mine didn't, but I'm just saying in general, my parents are amazing. At that time, I didn't realize it. We were like high-key broke. Mm-hmm. Like there's like a lot of times that we would like get made fun of. And I'm not saying this is like a sob story, but like we'd get made fun of for like, we'd go to Arby's like after church on Sunday, and like it would like me and my sister would like have to split like a drink or something just because of like, you know, money issues and stuff. And it's crazy because at that time, regardless of the money and financial situation, we were so happy. We were so happy.
Yeah.
And I guess just as time went on, my dad started, I guess, leveling up in his job, and like we ain't rich, but it's just praise God for hard work and dedication. We got to move to another house, and I mean, finances were still hard, but you know, the Lord saw us through, and we went to public school. So I was in third grade whenever I went to public school, and my mom went to public school and became a teacher. She's a first grade teacher, and I'm just gonna be real, ever since we went to public school, it just feels like the enemy just kind of infiltrated our household.
Okay.
He began to pervert our thoughts, our mind, because when you're in homeschool, you're so close with your family. It's like it has a purity to it. There's a holiness to it. Mm. But whenever you are like opening your home and not staying guarded, because what happened with my parents is obviously it's hard not to let your guard down. I mean, daggum, I'm 21 years old and like I don't even have like, I say a real job. I mean, social media is a real job, but like I can make my own hours. It's hard to stay in tune with the Spirit. Mm. And my job is Jesus, mm. you know, like to follow him every single day. And yeah. It's just kind of to where you allow the enemy to like compromise, you know, you start compromising and get distracted so that the Lord just begin to be more, less of a, you know, living life in tune with the Spirit 24/7 to more of just like a Bible study on like Easter or like a Bible study at night. You know, we would occasionally do that, but it didn't feel real.
So it's kind of like getting a little lukewarm.
It's getting really lukewarm.
Yeah.
And just throughout that, I mean, it was just a lot of stuff, y'all, in middle school. Like, yeah, we ain't going to talk about that.
Yeah, we don't have to dig into that.
Yeah. So going into high school, I'm going to say when my story really started, because I just feel like in middle school, you just don't even really know what you're doing. Let's just be real.
No, yeah.
But I have, like, a very, like, obsessive personality. So that's why, if y'all do know me, like, I'm obsessed with Jesus. Like, I'm working on how I present that because sometimes it's a little bit crazy, but
I don't think that.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's great. I
Some
think
people
it's perfect.
Say I'm an extremist.
Nah.
You think they're hating?
I don't think there's such thing as being an extremist when it comes to Jesus. Mm. Like we're the only reason that we're alive and we have a chance. Mm. Like what I want to say is he's the only reason that we even have a chance and are alive right now. So why wouldn't we be extremists about the man who literally saved our souls? Mm. We're talking about the fate of our eternity. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with being extremist about that. Yeah. I mean, he's literally saved you.
Yeah.
So I want to rebuke that right now.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. No, yeah. That's good. So whenever I started going to high school in freshman year, I began to just like find, I've always like had just a spirit of insecurity. Mm-hmm. The spirit of insecurity has been so heavy on me as a kid. Like it's not something that just came, always feeling insecure about every little thing. And freshman year, I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to start finding my worth in, you know, just hanging out with, like, older kids. My brother was a senior, so I just wanted to hang out with, like, older kids. And that, like, kind of put me in, like, the party scene of, like, smoking, drinking.
How old were you?
I mean, when you're a freshman, what are you, like?
It was freshman.
14?
I don't know, 15? Yeah, 14, I guess. Yeah. Wow, okay.
And also, let me touch a little bit on this because I feel like somebody needs to hear this. I was introduced to porn whenever I was in sixth grade. So, was that?
That's crazy.
Is that 11 years old? Yeah, whenever I was 11 years old, and
you're
I have
not
like
even a teenager yet.
I wasn't even a teenager. I have a whole video on that if y'all want to see that, but and how the Lord like delivered and healed me. But it was just like I didn't even like it was just like thrown into my face. That's like a big issue with public school, and it is the real world. But like you're like, oh, you can't shelter your kids in the real world. Yeah, but you have to keep a holiness in your family, and you have to bring it back because we go out in Nashville, we go out to the city, we see it, but we're on guard. Mm. We stand ground and we don't back. We don't, you know, a lot of people want to conform to Satan and to, like, I saw a video of this. It was like, a lot of people want to conform to secular music and a lot of people want to conform to the world, but, like, no one wants to conform you know, to Jesus. No one wants to conform to Christian music. And I just believe the Lord's like reclaiming his land.
Yeah, why is that? Like, why are we so comfortable with conforming to everything else under the sun except Jesus?
It's the flesh.
Because it's the flesh. And it's because Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. Mm. So anything outside of that, like the flesh is, it's just easier for the flesh.
Yeah.
Hey guys, how's it going? Are we loving this pod episode? Is it our favorite? Is it absolutely blessing us? Thanks, God. You're the best. Listen, guys, this is kind of giving mini commercial moment, but I wanted to tell you guys that there is a way to give to the pod and help support it financially, which is so huge. Even if you could only give 99 cents, literally anything is so appreciated. But I wanted to let you guys know that the option is there so that the pod can keep running and keep going. So to find the way to donate, you can go through the link in our bio on Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube. There's a link there that will lead you to give. I can also verbally tell you the link right now, but I'm going to tell you it's kind of lengthy. It's kind of long. Are you ready? Pens and papers are ready. Okay. It is podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/CWCOI/support. I love you guys so much. Thank you for your generosity. Now let's get back into the episode.
It honestly just proves his existence.
It proves his existence even more.
That's embarrassing. But anyways, going back, it's just embarrassing. So yeah, y'all, I developed a porn addiction whenever I was in like sixth grade.
That's crazy. Honestly, I can't even imagine like being a teacher, like knowing that there could be children that you're teaching at that young of an age that have been exposed to and impacted by porn.
Yeah,
like that's just so twisted. Yeah. No, it's just so evil.
Well, it's normalized today, that's the thing. So I think a lot of teachers don't care, like they're not ready to talk about that one either. So just honestly dealing with that, and it became to just be, it was like a normal thing, y'all. Like porn was just like a normal thing. Like, and I still think in today's culture it is like, oh yeah, I'm just watching this like normal, like, and you feel like zero conviction about it. And like, I mean, I would go to church camp and like, you know, sob. I felt the Lord's presence. I said I was saved. I got, you know, baptized when I was like in third grade. Mm. And that was me. No, I always knew Jesus was real, but I was never willing to make him Lord of my life. Like, I obviously believed in him, but my actions didn't align. I believe that's what a lot of people are falling into now with the lukewarm believers, is they believe, you know, Jesus is real and all these things, but like even the demons believe, so you're no better than a demon. And I will live off that scripture.
Yeah, and I think honestly, like what really truly keeps you lukewarm is still like mixing in sin, though, you know? So it's like you still were impacted and felt Jesus because he's very real and his presence is real, no matter if you're living a sinful life or not. But the thing that keeps you lukewarm is also allowing sin to be present in your life. Yeah,
you can only drink from one. So yeah, in freshman year, I just began to be in that scene. And then sophomore year, the Lord, he moves in such a mighty way, in such a crazy way. And even at that time, I wasn't living for him. I would claim to be a believer, but I wasn't actually living for him. It's just crazy how he's actually guiding us. Mm. He was guiding me and he knew the anointing in my life at the time, but I didn't.
Come on.
So I began to run cross country and track, and I began to be really good at, like, my mile time was like 4:34, like, not that I remember, but it was like, not that I remember, but it's exactly 4, but to my calculations, you can look it up. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, I was like getting really good, but I was so obsessed. So that was my new obsession, was to run track and cross country. And I began to be really strict on the things that I ate, and it developed into a really bad eating disorder, to where I weighed 120 pounds, and I was 6 foot, almost 6'2". And I remember going to the doctor like multiple times a month saying I felt so dizzy, like I thought I was low-key dying, I'm not even gonna lie. And finally the doctor just put me on a medication. They put me on an ADHD medication instead of getting to the root, which that's what the world does, is instead of getting to the root,
they patch it. Just put a band-aid.
Exactly.
They take the symptoms away.
I know, and covering symptoms actually creates a bigger issue,
way bigger.
And that's a word for somebody on here. And I began to like take ADHD medicine, and it covered like, you know, the symptoms of me like not eating, but
you weren't healed.
I was not healed, and it created like an addiction, and it created depression. And I remember.
And you're now reliant on that medication to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that was like the next, you know, where I find the worth and all this stuff. And it came to the point where I was like timing, like when I would like take the medicine so that it would peak in a race, and that's giving drug addict. There was one time I knew that I needed to get off that medicine whenever I almost like felt like I was having a heart attack in a race, and I was like, I cannot do this anymore. This is like gonna kill me. And it was actually like a regional race. It was getting so bad. The obsession with like sports and being the best was getting so bad. I remember I took like 2 laxatives before regionals. The next day, timing, I don't even know if I ate. I might have eaten just like something really tiny. Then I took ADHD medicine, whatever, Vyvanse. It's like a stimulant, so it gives you energy. And I ran the race, and I like barely could finish the race. I swear, I passed out. Like, it got bad. Then I had to go to the ER. It was crazy.
That's awful.
That's the point that I knew, like, I needed help. And so I decided I was going to get off that medicine. And then I remember I was in weightlifting one time at school, and I just went off cold turkey with that medicine. I literally wanted to unalive myself. But, I've always wanted to do it now. But, like, at that moment, like, I remember it was just, like, the darkest time. I don't have, like, any memory of that time. Mm-hmm. It's, like, blacked out.
It's giving trauma.
It's trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't remember anything, but I just... And there's some people around me to be like, you need to eat, but there's no, like... My whole life, there's, like, a lack of understanding. Yeah, you need to read the word. You don't celebrate Halloween. Do all this, but, like, why? Mm-hmm. Tell me why. But mm-hmm. No one wanted to explain why, so that's why I was living lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And that's why I finally am living for Jesus now, because he told me why. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. There's so much proof to it. And... So, yeah, I got off that meds, and it was just miserable. So I just left school that one day. And then just, like, fast-forwarding on, I got into, like, a really toxic, like, relationship. Then I found my worth in that girl. And then I ended it. I'm not even going to get into that. But I just want to share with you guys, because my testimony literally covers, like, everything. Mm-hmm. Relationship issues, drugs, alcohol, like, addiction, literally everything. So there's nothing. That's why I'm so passionate about Jesus, because there's nothing that he can't heal you from.
He can't deliver
I've
you
literally
from.
Experienced almost everything, and he's delivered me from it every single time. Mm-hmm. And he's continuing to heal me. He's continuing to deliver me, because the process of sanctification is deliverance.
Yep.
And I remember junior year, it was like right before COVID, I started social media, and I wasn't even allowed to have social media at the time. And I posted like a thirst trap video, and it went viral. And I was
how
like,
"How old were you?" This was senior year, you said?
No, this was junior.
Junior?
So let's say
like 17. Okay. Yeah. It's and giving underage. What are you doing, thirst trap?
It's giving underage, but it's also giving wanting affirmation from
right,
others
yeah.
and showing insecurity.
Yep.
And post that video, and just imagine like me having to tell my mom, hey mom, I have 50,000 followers like on TikTok, which that was before TikTok was huge.
Yeah.
But this just, I just want you to like hone in like really close on my story to see like how insane our God is, as in, okay, what is the coincidence that I start social media right before, you know, COVID? God mm-hmm. is wanting me to have a following for some reason. I did mm-hmm. not know why. So yeah, begin posting that, and on social media, begin gaining followers and followers and followers, and that just pumps my head up.
Yeah,
like, bro, it's giving airhead. Ego, like, I'm surprised I didn't float away. Mm-hmm. And then also to touch on, like, in high school, y'all, I was literally so mean to everybody. And that's one thing the enemy, like, tries to bring up a lot, is, like, me bullying everyone in my past.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad, but it was because I was insecure. Mm-hmm. And that's something Satan will try to bring up, is your past. And I don't know if anyone is dealing with...
If you haven't been personally... attacked by the enemy, specifically by him throwing your past in your face, you're lying. Like, there's just no way. Like, he will do that continuously. Yeah. Like, I have an example of somebody who is, honestly, they're not a close friend. They don't know who I am now.
Yeah.
They knew who I was before Jesus. And it's like, you know, they're sending me pictures of a version of myself from before I knew Jesus. And they're like, who's this? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know her anymore. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like even something as simple as that where, no, I'm not saying that that person was necessarily a demon, you know, or like worshiping the devil. But the enemy really will use anything and anyone to try to throw your past in your face. Because to that person, that's just a picture of me from like a couple years ago. But to me, I remember exactly where I was. Mm-hmm. I remember exactly what I was feeling. I remember all of the struggles, the hardships, everything. Like, it's like, it's giving when you smell a smell that like brings you back.
Yeah,
like that's like the same energy that having that picture sent to me did for me. So yeah. So anyway, with him throwing your past in your face, like it's just, there's nothing new that he does. Like it's giving the same old, like he'd be doing that for all of us.
I don't know whenever everyone's going to understand that we literally, if you are a child of God, have authority over Satan. Mm-hmm. So if he's continually bringing your past, you know, back up in your face, it's because he's scared. The reason
threatened.
That he's bringing all of these thoughts in your mind to be stressed out and overwhelmed about and and all these, you know, toxic people in your life, it's because he's stressed and he's scared, because he knows through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can rebuke him so quick. Luke 10:19 says, don't rejoice because you can trample on snakes and scorpions, but rejoice because your name is registered in heaven. Jesus literally said, Satan fell like lightning. He's beneath us. Right. Don't even rejoice because of that, because he's so beneath us and below us.
Right.
And we just have to understand that he is scared of us. So instead of, it's just like reverse psychology. Whenever these things are coming onto us, rebuke it. It's not you.
Yeah.
All that, you know, that past, and he wants you to feel that shame, but it's because he's literally scared of
you. And to be honest, that version of you in the past wasn't a threat to him. So obviously he wants to take the version of you today that is a threat to him and bring you back to something that ain't going to threaten him. Because like, what? Why would he bring you back to a version of you that would kick his butt?
Yeah.
Like, he's going to try to bring you back to a version of yourself that low-key served him and didn't like threaten him.
Yeah.
It's not like you were glorifying God. It's not like you were glorifying the kingdom then.
Yeah.
So it's like, just take it as confirmation that wherever you are in your life right now, if the enemy is truly trying to take you back, like, you better know that that's because you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you are literally making him shake in his boots.
Come on. It's time to bring back the authority in the church.
Yeah.
The authority of scripture.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's crazy because the word literally says that in Hebrews that Jesus provides a way out of every single temptation.
He does.
Every single one. And he shows that in the wilderness, the fact that the Holy Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and he fasted every time that saint came to him. He
apparently, it was the desert.
Really? The desert? Wilderness? I don't know.
I think I said it once in a video where I think I said the forest and people were like, Allie, it was a desert. It doesn't matter.
Honestly, regardless of what it is, it's giving insecure with trying to correct y'all so much anyways.
But also, does it matter? He was tempted in the middle of nowhere. Can we say that? For 40 days.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere.
It's just like, why everybody want to correct yourself?
I don't know. Some people just want to be, they just want to sound right.
It's just.
Even like, if I was wrong, y'all get it though. He was in the middle of nowhere and vulnerable.
Yeah. And every single time.
Whether there were trees or sand.
Yeah, it's just like, y'all reaching. Anyways, love y'all. And it's just like the fact
it's not the ones listening right now. It's the people in my comment section, like on the internet.
Yeah.
These people who are listening, bro, they're family.
Yeah, I know. I love y'all family. Yeah. If Allie says y'all family, y'all family.
They're family.
And yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that every time that Satan came to Jesus, first off, he was fasting. So you're not going to defeat the enemy if you're not fasting.
Yeah, I just learned that. I just fasted for the first time. I said that on the pod in the last episode. I shared with them my experience of fasting for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful.
Yeah.
Like, the way that I hear from the Lord so clear, and the way that I, like, saw the enemy so much clearer.
Yeah, and discernment.
The discernment was...
The only reason we're feeling the way we are now was because we fasted before this trip.
Sirens are going off. Right, so that's what's so cool about fasting, is it's not just in it.
Yeah.
And honestly, everyone's experience with fasting is so different, because I've gotten mixed reviews from people saying that they actually don't get anything until after the fast. They get things both during the fast and after, or just during, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that the fruit be fruiting even far after the fast. The fruit be fruiting, and it don't go nowhere, because it's crazy, because I was like really truly hearing from the Lord so clearly during my fast, but it hasn't stopped since I fasted.
It's crazy.
It's really good.
And then the next thing that Jesus did every single time was quote scripture, you know, back to Satan. And I saw a video you posted in one of your episodes of, like, you know, you quote scripture to the enemy, and it's like, well, he might quote it back at you, but just, you know, misinterpret or, like, just change a little bit, because, like,
he'll give you a half truth.
Half truth is a whole lie.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you were mean to everybody in high school.
I was mean to everybody in high school. And if you're listening and you're from high school, I formally apologize. And I literally love you so much. Aww. Like, please forgive me.
He's born again. He's new.
And the thing is, but you can't even argue. Like, people just look for something to be mad at. Like, on my social media, it's, at this point, if I really wanted the views, I would go back to what I was doing. It was getting me a lot more views. But Jesus, I mean, I'm sold out for him. And I literally love him. And I just want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's why I just got to be bold. It don't matter what anybody else says.
I feel like that's what's so similar with our testimonies, is that we, like, had a following and we had success and we had all of those things before we had Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like, honestly, our lives would be a lot, I don't want to say easier in the world, maybe, to just keep doing what we were doing. From the outside
perspective, yeah.
Right. But it wasn't fulfilling us, and actually we were so empty.
Yeah, no, we're getting to that point in the story.
Yeah.
We digress. So I started social media, y'all, and I just began to start, you know, living for myself in every way that I could. It became to the point to where, like, I would go to social media, like, every single day, post as many times, just until I get something viral, to where it began to be like an idol. And a lot of people say, like, today, nowadays, crew, how do you not care about social media so much? Because I once cared about it so much, it kept me up at night.
Yeah.
I once literally would wake up in the middle of the night, like, so often, to see if a video went viral. But that's on Jesus's power. I mean, I'm a living proof. If you're not living proof, then did Jesus even work in your life? He wants to work in your life. You just have to be willing, and it's costly.
Yeah.
Like we always talk about.
It's a sacrifice. You have to lay down your life.
The more that you lay down, the more he can enter in.
Yeah. And I feel like it sounds really dramatic to some people who maybe like haven't actually like laid down their life completely, or like, I mean, literally die. Like give your life. It sounds dramatic, but it's like, you don't understand how beneficial it is for you to do that, though, literally lay down your life and give God your entire life. It's a sacrifice, but it is so unbelievably rewarding. Like, you are alive and living when you do that.
It's how we were literally created to live.
It's how we were wired to be. Like, it was like what you had said yesterday where, you know, if you take a fish out of water, like when you take something out of its environment that it was made for, when you take us out of the environment of being in the presence of God and truly being like connected like this with God, we just don't operate right. We are depressed. We are anxious. We do want to off ourselves. Like we don't have a lack of, we have a lack of identity. We have a lack of purpose. Like we just will have all those things because we are fish that are being, that have been taken out of water and we're put in some muddy, mucky, gross pond. You know, it's like he is the living water, like he is the truth, and so when you we are aligned with that, like we are walking testimonies of that Karu, because people look at versions of ourselves. People could say Karu was a jerk to me in high school. Karu literally bullied the crap out of me. But like to see who you are now is so glorifying to God, and only shows, it just supports who he is. Like he is good. Like he literally will transform us. You are not that person anymore.
Amen.
It's a testimony.
It's a testimony. And yeah, I started, you know, just posting on social media, and that's where we're getting to on, like you said, it's not going to fulfill.
So we're feeling validation through the internet. And so much so that we're like waking up in the middle of the night to make sure that everything's performing well, because that's where your value.
And I, y'all, there's so many influencers who are still doing that, that you follow. And I think on that, and you know, I know you can back me on this, a lot of people, you know, on the outsider perspective on social media think that people's lives are so glamorous and stuff, but some of the top like influencer people that you follow are literally the most insecure people. They care so deeply about views, they care so deeply about likes. A lot of times they don't even care about you. You're a number to them. And I know that stinks to say, but I was one of those people, so I can, I'm allowed to say that.
Right.
So you need to make sure that the people that you're following are leading you to Christ and not astray.
Yeah.
They need to be a brother and sister in Christ who are in tune.
Yeah. And I think just having that discernment, and like you can pray to the Lord about that too. He'll show you. Be like, God, he'll show you. Be like, Lord, if there's anyone that I'm following on social media, if there's anyone that I'm letting influence my life, you know, through my eyes and ears, like reveal it to me. And you will just start to have feelings that you don't really understand. You're like, wait, why am I starting to feel this way about this person that I'm following? I've felt that. I've felt that about a lot of people that I've been supporting and loving for plenty of years online. And I'm not saying that they're bad people, but if they're not pouring into you, and if they are not helping you in your journey, and just like, I don't know, for me personally, I'm trying to be a better person every single minute, like every day. I want the Lord to transform me. I do not want to be the person I was yesterday. Yeah.
If it's not pushing you closer to Christ, then unfollow.
We need to reevaluate.
Yeah.
And it might be hard, but like, it might be hard because it's actually the thing you need to do.
Yeah. Even if it's a, I'm telling you, like sometimes in my walk, I literally just had to, this is recent, y'all, just a few weeks ago, I had to unfollow literally every single person. And I mean, even getting on this podcast, I told Allie, like, hey, I was like literally jealous of your podcast. Like I was like, we have to be real. Because I think many times, like with the comparison on social media, like anything that is not brought to the light, like anything in the darkness is either going to grow or it's going to die. It's time to bring, you know, the comparison, the insecurity to the light so Jesus can heal.
Yeah.
That's what he did. Yeah, I got deliverance on Sunday.
That was so, I'd never seen a deliverance me in my either. Life.
And it was like giving charismatic.
Well, you didn't see it. You were gone.
Yeah, I know. It was like really insane, y'all.
It was really awesome. I was so happy for you. I was so happy for you. We can touch on that maybe later, but let's get back on track.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. We keep going off on awful. I mean, they're good.
Yeah. It's a spirit.
It's going giving off. mini sermons.
Yeah. So let me lean up for this. So I started posting on social media, and just my whole life, I always thought like, okay, once I have this amount of followers or once I have this, then I'm going to be fulfilled. And I remember specifically, actually, I need to rewind real quick because I'm missing a key part of my story. So I remember it was around when I hit like 100,000 followers, 400,000 a little bit. Because of social media, I ditched all my friends. I did not like, I was the literal worst friend. I had literally nobody because I thought I was that boy. I thought I was like everything. It was giving God complex.
It's giving pride.
It's giving pride. And I remember going to my mom's room and just praying, like, Mom, would you just come and pray with me that, and keep in mind, I'm a lukewarm believer. I'm like, would you just pray that I could have good friends, just a good community? I remember us praying over that. And a week, if not days after, we got a call from one of my mom's best friends, and she said, hey, Jennifer, I have a job opening at an animal shelter for Carew and Abby. That's my sister, if y'all don't know her, if they're available to work there. And we're like, well, I mean, we're broke. You know what I mean? I'm not making any money from social media, so we're like, might as well. So our first day we of working there, I remember my sister like pointing out this dog to me, and I was just like, oh, this dog's adorable. And I've always wanted my own dog. My whole entire life, I've always wanted my own dog. And for some reason, that dog like stuck out to me so specifically. And if you guys do follow me, you know my story with Nalu. And Nalu. I came back home. Nalu.
Sweet.
Can we put a picture of her on the screen right here?
Yeah, send me one and I can put her right here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Boop. I love her. And I remember going home, and it got to the point to where, I mean, every single day I went home for, honestly, 4 days, I was like sobbing for this dog. Keep in mind, this is somebody with a hardened heart, miserable, but crying over some random puppy dog. Like, I'm working at a shelter. What are you going to expect? You're going to see a lot of dogs. But there was something literally like appointed about this one specific dog, and my sister pointed it out to me. And my parents like were like, no, we're not getting a dog. You're not going to take care of it. And it's just going to, you know, be like every other animal. And I was so determined in getting this dog. Like, I was just sobbing. I was like, I have to get this dog regardless of what my parents say. So I posted on TikTok. I said, if 200 people can Venmo me $1, then I can get my dream dog without my parents knowing. The next day, we raised like $1,300.
Wow.
And I said, Mom, sorry, we can't return the money. So finally got my dog. And
that's so sweet.
It's so sweet. And just through that journey of, you know, just the Lord using my dog so heavy to like soften my heart. I love
that he'll animals. Use anything.
I love that he'll use anything.
Yeah.
It's insane. And I love animals so much. And working at the shelter, I literally cleaned up poop. That was my job, was to scrape kennels and clean up poop and dig in trash cans.
Carew literally picked up poop in my house, and I was like, don't do that.
Bro,
like,
I live in Honduras.
And he was like, I've done this. Yeah. He's like, I've been picking up dog poop.
You don't want to know what I've had to do. Anyways, so just through that process of, you know, I started posting with Nalu, and she began to be like the literal reason that I woke up.
Mm.
It was becoming like that. And people who follow on social media could think that, oh, when I post with my dog, it's like fake or whatever. It was genuine out of a kid searching so hard for a reason to wake up. Mm. And the Lord sent that in a dog to soften my heart. And through that, my dog literally changed my heart from being one of the hardest, meanest persons to just like so just sweet and loving in like every single way. And the Lord knew at that time I wasn't ready to receive him in that way. So he sent my dog. And just as time goes on, I just start posting, you know, with my dog. And honestly, we just start blowing up. Like, we just start getting millions and millions of followers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. She's
just because you have, like, this sweet companion and y'all are just, like, so cute together.
Honestly, it's Carew and Nalu against the world.
Aww.
But that's sweet. I don't really post her anymore. She's still alive, y'all. Everybody thinks she's dead. She's not. Love
You're
her.
You're talking about her like she's dead.
Oh, really?
I don't know why I thought that the story was. Stop. I thought this story was leading to her being dead. I'm
why does everyone
lie.
Think she's dead?
No, I don't know. I was scared. I think I was just afraid that there was gonna be a really sad ending.
No.
I rebuke me saying that it's because you talk about her like she's dead, but I was afraid that it was gonna
everyone
be.
Everyone has been asking me if she's dead. She's not dead, y'all. I just travel so much.
Yeah.
That. At the end of the day,
praise the Lord that she's still alive.
She's alive.
I was afraid that this was gonna have a sad ending.
No.
Praise God.
I don't even know if I would be on this couch right now if my dog was dead.
How All old right. is she?
She's 4 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Nalu's still with us.
Anyways, I just remember like saying like, oh, I just need more followers, more followers, more followers. And it just began to be like more miserable, more miserable, more miserable. You know how it is. And it's like, okay, well, maybe once I get this certain amount of money, because obviously social media wasn't paying the bills. So I started my own business and sold out literally overnight. Like started making amazing amounts of money. And then again, it just stopped filling me. And I remember there's a specific time, like one of my friends asked me to go and get coffee with her after church. And I was just like, oh, sure. Like, yeah, whatever. And I was like, I don't really have any any, I mean, I had friends, like, I don't want to say I didn't have, but it's just like, it was me. I was secluding myself. I wasn't being open to my friends. I still had some people in my life that were pouring into me, but I wasn't receptive to it. Mm. And so I want to preface that. And I mean, I got coffee with her. And ever since that day, we hung out for every single day for 3 months straight. Wow. Before she went and worked at church camp. And in that moment, like, I didn't realize it was like the Lord in her that I was like attracted to. I mean, we didn't date or anything. It was just like a best friend. Like, it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit in her that pulled me
to her.
That
was what was gravitating you to her, though. Yes. Was the goodness of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy. So my story isn't like a one specific moment to where, like, Jesus met me, you know, like, when I was in the bathroom, like, crying. No, like, Jesus slowly made me fall in love with him. And, like, through, I had to experience somebody living so on fire for Jesus. I had to experience his love before, you know, I would even receive it. And I remember my friend went off to camp, and I was like, wow, I've literally been in my word for 3 months and I didn't even plan on it, because I just started to fall in love with Jesus.
It's really like, the cool thing is like, he actually just has to reveal to you his love. Yeah. And you have no other desire.
Yeah.
But to want more, because it's that good.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't like make us fall in love with him. He doesn't make us love him. Like, it's like he literally just shows us his goodness, and we're like, oh my gosh, I love this man.
It's like, once you taste, you crave nothing else.
You're like, wait, he's amazing.
That's why we're so crazy for Jesus.
Because he's the best thing ever. He's the kindest person ever.
He's the sweetest, like, I can't even gentle, explain. Lowly.
I would humble, dissolve.
Loving.
He's just so, honestly, I've been feeling it. Like, I don't know if you're, I've been feeling it all day where this is just me. Like, I'm just, yeah, like, just I've just resting been resting in his presence. Like, he's just so kind.
And I think he's intentional.
He's extremely, I don't think,
Jesus is so intentional. And yeah, just last night, how we were all praying, and we felt like a holy hush in the room.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I was on my knees, like, you know, crying out to the Lord. And I felt, you know, Jesus saying, just come get on the couch. Just curl up on my lap like it's a father.
Yeah.
And I just got the blanket, just sat on the Lord's lap.
And when we were talking about being in tune with the Spirit, like, this is another example.
Yes.
Because I felt the Lord tell me to just lay down, like, completely lay down on, yes, the floor. And I, it was giving, like, I'm just, like, in his chest. Like, I was feeling that same
it sense of, it was crazy.
Like, and we all were like, I feel like I was just resting in my dad's, yes, lap. Or I feel like I was just leaning in his chest. Like, it was giving, like,
yes,
literal dad just holding you and comforting you.
I said
you
out loud. I was like, I feel like I said, Jesus literally told me to come lay in his lap. Everyone was like, what?
Same.
Like, everyone was freaking out. Because, yeah, it's the same.
It's giving in tune with the Spirit.
And he's intentional with
he's
each
so
of us.
He's so intentional.
He speaks to each and every single one of us. That's on being in tune with the Spirit.
Separately, but together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with my friend, I just slowly, like, fell in love with Jesus. And I slowly began to just be sold out with him. And through that process, through that journey, like, I loved animals so much. And there's a specific time in December. So I was just kind of growing in my faith. But it was still giving, like, Jesus is so gracious, because I look back at my story and look back at times where I was a Christian when I first started following Jesus, and I felt like the strongest believer. Mm. He let me feel that. He let me feel his love. He let me feel so strong, you know, and so close to him. I felt him so tangible, but I was, like, still living in a lot of sin, but his grace is so sufficient. Mm-hmm. So, because I know in five years, I'm going to look back now and be like, dang, crew, you were doing that.
You still needed growth.
You know?
Yeah.
And his, grace, his grace is so, man, intentional in everything.
Because he doesn't see, like, he sees where you're at now, and he really is so proud. But,
yeah,
he also does see the versions of who will be in the future.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the grace. It's like,
it's,
he,
cool,
sees the anointing on our entire life.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the reason that he has so much grace for us.
It's literally so cool.
He's
and
so kind.
I know.
He's so patient.
It's just, you don't even comprehend the Lord. You just have to taste him. You know, taste and see that the,
yeah,
Lord is good. I started following the Lord in that and just slowly fell in love with him, getting
my
word.
And that
was
how many years ago? 3, 4?
2021. And then we had, like, a really bad tornado about 20 minutes from where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it was a very heavily, like, Hispanic community population there. And just me and my dad were there for, like, 2 weeks after everything happened. So we drove every single day just to, like, help, serve. Get, I mean, we did a GoFundMe. It raised, like, almost $40,000. Praise,
wow,
Jesus. That's,
wow,
on Jesus. And in that moment, the Lord revealed to me, he's like, crew, I didn't call you to, you know, because I wanted to be a vet. I loved animals so much. I wanted to be a zookeeper my whole life. He said, I didn't call you to love on animals. He said, I called you to love on the broken. That is why you keep, you know, loving, saving animals and loving, saving, going to the shelter.
Because you do have a heart for the broken.
It wasn't even, I love animals, but it wasn't even animals. It was about people. And to go even deeper on that, the Lord has put the Hispanic community so heavy on my heart, because later on, I didn't realize that. Like, it was so funny how Jesus works. We had like a translator to go with our church, and I was like, I do not want a translator. I want to do this. I want to type it out on my phone, even if it's hard, because I want to be intentional in this way. And then like 2 years later, the Lord calls me to Honduras in the Hispanic community. And now I know Spanish, and it's just crazy like to be able to like speak to any person like who's Hispanic, like in, especially in the US, because we need to do better in the States of treating our Hispanic community better. Because they're like such an overlooked population, and you have to see like where these people are coming from. Like, you would want to come here too. And we were at Cane's the other night, and one of the cooks was Hispanic, and he didn't even know, like, the people didn't even know his name. Like, he didn't even know English. And I just got to talk to him in Spanish and just say, God bless you. I'm so happy. And the way that he literally lit up so hard.
Because he felt seen.
Exactly. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's the gospel. Feeling seen, feeling loved. And finding hope, that's literally what the Lord, having grace on other people. So, just through that, the Lord showed me, you know, that my heart was for people. And honestly, even if you look back at my social media, which is crazy, in the times, like I said, I thought I was so strong spiritually. Jesus continues to have grace and grace and grace. But I say I truly, not even truly, I became so much deeply rooted. It's crazy in your life. You know, Jesus is continuing to write testimony after testimony after testimony, because the last year I didn't realize I was living in a testimony of just moving to Honduras. And I went to Honduras last year and lived there for 6.5 months, and I just out of a walk of faith. And I like, it's just crazy how you don't even realize that the Lord is like working in that and everything.
So we found the Lord. We have a passion for, okay, so now I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously the Lord has like, it was like you've always had this love for the broken in your heart. And I feel like even with my testimony is very similar, because I had my brand of like girly pop, and I really had such a love for people, and specifically women. Like, I love pouring into women and like encouraging them, giving them hope and faith. And so it was just a matter of the Lord just tweaking and just like turning the dial a little bit. Or like, we were going this direction and he was like, we're just gonna go a little bit more this way, because it was like we really were on the right direction, but it was like he just needed to kind of tweak our hearts a bit. And so I love that. And I want to ask you, like, now that you see, you know, where the Lord is leading you in your life, what are some of the biggest dreams? What are the things that you really want to achieve in the name of Jesus? Like, what is your mission with the Lord? Like, where do you see him taking you with these specific things that you have on your heart for the broken, for the Hispanic community? Like, what do you feel?
I'm gonna say, one, first and foremost, my end goal is to please the Father.
Of course.
To please Jesus above
and just
man.
Honor him and obey.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord has put the call like on my life to speak and to be an author. And there's been like just a shift in like my social media and the stuff that I've been posting of just like, I feel the Lord calling me to like a higher standard. He's judging me at a higher standard. And like, as you grow with the Lord, you know, every single day of every single month, the standard just becomes to be higher and higher and higher. You know, as children of the Lord, we're pursuing that process of sanctification. So for me, I believe that the Lord's calling me into the space of, you know, speaking and writing books.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I really want to start a ministry.
And I see a lot of travel in your life.
Yeah. I really want to start an orphanage in Honduras, in Jesus' name, like a connecting one from the U.S. to Honduras. And I want to make it like accessible. I haven't really told anybody this, but hey, girly pops, what y'all
say?
Hey. How y'all doing? I want it to like make it easier for my followers or even you guys to travel and do mission trips in a safe way.
That's really good.
And like, even like if you like joined in, like we can connect with our followers on a mission trip, allow the Lord, because I've experienced how going to a third world country, even for a week, literally transforms your life insanely, and also transforms the other people's life.
I can't wait to do it.
So that's what cross-cultural ministries is, what, because we say, oh, we need to go to Honduras, or oh, we need to go to Honduras, and Honduras needs to come to us.
Come on.
Because we both have things that we can exchange from one another.
That's right. That's really good. Crew, thank you so much for sharing all of this.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for like officially sharing your testimony for the first time ever. Well, like,
thank you for
on this podcast. Yeah, we're so grateful
I'm
for
getting
you.
The holy sweats right now.
We love you. Why? Why? Because you're like, I shared a lot. Yeah. The thing is like, obviously it's so important for us to share our testimonies and our stories, but it really does like take us back.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard.
It to, is
like,
hard.
Feel it and hear it. And like, I mean, I was even just simply talking about it just from a simple picture of someone sending to me, but it's like telling our testimonies is hard because it does take us back to like where we were at before, but praise God.
Yeah.
And it's so important to share.
It's so important.
So I'm just really grateful for you for sharing it.
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah. I pray that there'll be more podcasts.
There's going to be more.
That I'll be joining on.
There will be more.
Joining it back in here.
I feel that in the spirit.
I know, me too. It's giving duo.
It is. It's giving Avengers. Like, we legitimately keep saying that, but like the way that we have all been able to just be together and the way that the Lord has truly specifically put things on all of our heart, it goes back to the intentionality of him, but it like it's all so complements. It's specific.
It's the way, like, randomly at my house, like one night I just like your name, Ali Yost, written down. That's the reason I'm here right now.
It's amazing because I reached out
and we're all in, like we're on a team. And I call Spider-Man, by the way, being in the Avengers.
You're Spider-Man. I don't know what I would be.
Black Widow, maybe.
Sure.
Wonder Woman.
I want to be Wonder Woman. I would be her. Ooh, okay. I would do that. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. And Karoo loves y'all.
I love y'all so much.
You can find him on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. You obviously, we already mentioned his podcast, but hey, can we do something really cool? This is my little outro.
Yeah.
Can we do something cool today? Can we show somebody how cool Jesus is? Like, can you go show somebody why Jesus is so cool? Share his love, share the gospel. And that literally is just spreading his love, spreading his compassion, spreading his goodness, y'all. Let's walk a little bit more like Jesus today. That's a goal that we should have for the rest of this week. But I love you guys. I hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Happy Friday. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye. If you guys can't wait until next Friday for another episode, you are in luck. Subscribe to our Patreon where you will have early access to future episodes and occasional surprise bonus episodes. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok for more content. And if this episode spoke to you, please write us a 5-star review since it helps the podcast so much. We'll see you guys next time.